Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when the Ouija board gives you dates and names of people you don't know, only to later find out they connect to a violent rape and murder event.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and share. We'd love to hear your ghost stories. We get into the Halloween season, and if you want even more ghost stories, in fact, our best ghost stories, become a supporter of our show. That's an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. Either way, $5 a month, or you can get 1 month free if you sign up for a yearly membership. Annual memberships now available on both ghostpodcast.com and patreon.com/realghoststories. So way to get a little something extra and get access to all of the stuff that we do here and to help keep us on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day in 2020?
Tony and I were just talking before we started recording about what a hell of a year this has been.
Yeah.
I know it's been a crazy ass year when we're thinking, talking about ghosts is lighthearted and fun.
Yeah. That and Serial Killers on the Dark Side of Wikipedia, our other podcast. Because it's
something different to talk about.
It's like, right.
Crazy ass world.
BTK, that sounds great. You know, he only killed how many people? It's just like, that was fun. It's just, it's insane. But it is the world that we're living in right now. I mean, we all need escapes and, you know, it's no different than turning on, you know, Investigation Discovery or Travel Channel or whatever on television and just kind of zoning away on something that is not immediately pressing on us right now. And our serial killer stories, for the most part, aren't. And the ghost stories, for the most part, aren't, unless you're the one who wrote it in. So,
I don't know of anyone in my circle of people that's had a good year. Like everybody knows. Yeah. It's just kind of shitty.
I know. You know, the other year, it wasn't 2019, was it 2018 that everybody was like, this year sucks? Because there was a lot of celebrity deaths, if I remember that year. Your George Michael died on Christmas. And it was just like a lot of really well-known people. I think Robin Williams. There was a huge list. It was like abnormally long. And they were all different type things. And everyone's like, it's a horrible year. Just when will this year be done? It's like that year doesn't even equal one fucking week of 2020 in terms of the insanity, the stress, the uncertainty and everything. But we're here to help you escape and not think about it for a little while. So welcome to the program. And if you'd like many more hours of mindless ghost stories to dive into, then be sure to check out ghostpodcast.com and get hooked up with our huge archive and bonus episodes, all ad-free. You can just sit there and just nonstop. No ads, no nothing. I've even found sometimes now that ads, I don't even like watching ads anymore. I never really did like watching ads, but even ads are all COVID-related. It's like, like I miss the ads at the beginning of COVID, but like before COVID started, and that's all they had to run was like shit that was done before the pandemic. Now it's all like...
I don't want to hear another commercial say, we're in it together. No, we're not.
Yeah, I'm just...
by myself. They're in
together
about this.
I know. I'm just done. Just stop with that. Run normal ads again. We all know what's going on. I don't need to know how Tide feels about the pandemic. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, when I was in early to mid high school, my best friend and I would play with a Ouija board. This is a Ouija board my dad and I made. We'd always set boundaries before we would use it, though. We'd sprinkle salt around the room and explain to the board that we were using conditions upon of our use. Our conditions were that any spirit that entered the board had to tell the truth, and that when we were done using the board, they had to leave entirely. Not just the board, but they had to leave our whole property. My mom did not want me to use it at our house, so we only used it at my friend's house. However, when my mom was not home, we did it one time without her permission. After we set our usual boundaries, we just asked that any spirit who had something to tell us please enter the board. This was normally what we would do. The spirit then identified itself as a young girl who had been about 13 when she died. We asked her what year she died in, and she said she had died in the year of 1960. We asked her how she died, and she told us she had been murdered. We asked her who murdered her, and she said it had been a man. We asked her if her murder had been solved, and she said that yes, it had. And that made us feel a little bit better. At least we did not have some ghost of a murdered child who wanted us to solve an unsolved mystery. Also, this did not really faze us. Most of the spirits we talked to had claimed to have died in violent ways. It sort of makes sense to us, at least in my experience. It's less common for spirits to stick around when they have lived a peaceful life and died peacefully at an old age. But then things started getting weird. We asked the little girl, I do not remember what she said her name was, although I am sure we asked her, if she had anything else to tell us. She then spelled out through the Ouija board, rape and murder on my birthday. This creeped us out a little bit. We asked her if there was anything she wanted us to know. She then spelled out the phrase D-O-N-P-A-R-T-I-T-I-O, but it was in two words, like Don Partition. We did not know what this meant at all. On a whim, I pulled out my phone and typed those letters into Google. When I saw the results, my whole body was flooded with cold chills. The first link that popped up on Google was titled Rape and Murder 1947. We realized the little girl had said she died in 1960 when she was 13. That would have made her born in 1947. The article was about a partition in India in the 1940s between Muslim and Hindu people. We didn't know what the significance of this article meant to the little girl, but the strange thing was the dates lined up exactly, and the only way we could find an article was to type in those exact letters the Ouija board gave us. We tried to find it elsewhere, but could not. My friend and I were both super creeped out. We're seniors in college now and have not used a Ouija board since. So, yeah, that would be kind of creepy.
That was really, really, really creepy. And then right in the middle of that, somebody texted me. My phone goes, and it scared me. But it's so crazy. Like, they're doing this, talking to spirits, and it's like, okay, you got to leave as soon as we make contact. And they're totally cool with that. Mm-hmm. Like, who does, like, I don't think I'd have the nerve to do anything like that.
No, I don't know. It's one of those things where you start to have to wonder, okay, was this really the little girl? Did some sort of other spirit Google first, and then this is what they came up with to give dates and names of someone to make themselves appear as being something else? You really don't know unless they were to dig deeper into it, which I don't encourage them to do so.
Wow, like that whole thing is creepy. The first time that, like, say someone did talk me into doing that, mm-hmm. and some spirit came through, I would never do that shit again.
Yeah.
Ever.
Did you ever, have I ever asked you, have you ever done a Ouija board? Have we ever talked about that?
Yeah, I have, when I was a kid, yeah. In the freaking haunted house.
Yeah, the house. Okay.
Why?
Yeah. But you don't.
Something weird happened when. It might have been my mom snuck out of the house and scared him. That could have been it. But because I think they were like at the Ouija board, and my mom, who is not known for practical jokes or a sense of humor, like at night, goes out of the house and they're with the Ouija board and she starts pounding on the windows. Like, it scares the crap out of all of us.
So the question is, was your mom trying to scare you, or was your mom possessed by something from the Ouija board? Out of character.
I always thought all this time she thought she was being funny.
Yeah.
She really was just possessed.
That's all.
That's actually, that makes more sense if you knew my mother. I just, like, now I'm thinking about my childhood all differently.
It changes everything in a moment. There you go. You should just bring it up sometime when you see her. Mom, were you trying to scare us, or were you possessed by a demon that one night?
And here's what would happen. Mom would go, well, I never did anything like that. What are you talking about?
Even more proof.
She would not remember that she ever did that.
More proof that she was possessed, because you wouldn't remember it then.
That was it. All those years. Rational explanation. My mom was just possessed.
Yep. And that's on the next Jenny Jones. All these years, I thought my mom was really mean and horrible, but no, she was just possessed by a demon. Next Maury. Yeah. Mom. Yeah. And there's like a reunion and everything. And it's, yeah, there you go. That could be, I'm surprised it hasn't been a topic on one of those shows at some point. Let's go to our next story. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Next one, it says, I'm rather new to your podcast. Only been listening a couple of months now, but I listen pretty much all day. Listening to yours and a few other pods helped with my anxiety and when I cannot sleep. I guess that says something about our world right there. We help with anxiety and when you can't sleep, and we're talking about horror stories. This is 2020. I have had paranormal things happen my entire life. I'm sensitive and empathic. I'm only going to cover two experiences today, though. My grandmother on my mom's side died about 5 years ago now. She and I were close. She was the other half of my soul. I could talk to her about anything. She believed in spirits and reincarnation just like me, and I believe she was sensitive, too. I was devastated when she passed. I didn't get to say goodbye to her about a week afterwards, though. I was asleep, but it was not a dream. If you've ever had one of these experiences, you know they feel different. So here it goes. I'm standing in complete darkness, nothing but black, as my mind starts to question where I am. And suddenly, I'm in a huge, beautiful field at the bottom of a medium-sized hill. I feel drawn up the hill, so I walk up. At the top is a large tree, and in the shade is a picnic table with someone sitting. As I get closer, I see it's my grandmother. I'm so happy to see her, so I finish walking up to the table and sit down across from her. I tell her how much I love her and how much I miss her. We talk for a few minutes, and she looks so happy and a bit younger, but still like the grandmother I loved. I got quiet, and she asked me what was wrong, and I told her she looked different, and it scared me a bit. And she said, "Do I really look closer?" As I stare into her eyes, I realize there's an entire universe there. I felt as if I was falling through everything and anything. It's really hard to explain. I could see stars, planets, feeling of overwhelming love, safety. I blinked and I was back on the hill sitting at the picnic table with my grandmother. She had the biggest, most loving and knowing smile I've ever seen. No more words were needed. I knew everything. She would simply be fine and that I would see her again. We hugged and I was home a second later. My second story happened after my dad died. My dad and I had a falling out several years ago and lost contact. Luckily, after 20 years of not talking, we reconnected, which ironically happened because of my grandmother's passing. I wanted to forgive and forget before it was too late. We had 3 years of talking and getting to know each other again as adults. He had remarried to a wonderful woman that I love having as a stepmother. His death was sudden and unexpected. There was no warning and no hope of survival. He had a massive heart attack. The doctor said he was gone before his body hit the floor. My dad and stepmom were living in Alaska at the time. That phone call, I remember every word of it. I went numb and blank. I could not say anything. Later, I had to apologize because I just hung up without saying anything. Then I lost my shit. I really do not remember much of the next couple of weeks. My life had been a whirlwind of things in the months leading up to my dad's death. My husband and I had gotten a new car, bought our first house together. The summer before his passing, we were supposed to go to Alaska to visit him, but with everything going on in my life, we put it off till the next summer, which obviously I regret now. We had only been in our new home for a couple of months when my dad passed. It was about a month after, and I was starting to not cry all the time and beginning to function again. I was texting with my stepmom and stepsister. We were sending pics back and forth. I took a picture out of my front door, looking off my front porch, and sent it to them. My phone went off like I received a message back. When I tapped the screen to open the message, I was no longer in my front room. I was in the picture I had taken. I was standing on my porch looking down the stairs, and my dad was walking up to them with his arms open to hug me. He was saying he loved my new house and he was so proud of me. As soon as he touched me to hug me, I was back in my front room, just dropped my phone and fell to the floor crying. I have no idea how much I needed to hear that from him. I always felt like I let him down growing up, but he let me know otherwise. I'm crying even now typing this out. I have so many other stories, but these two are my most powerful and emotional. Thanks for taking the time to read this. And if it ends up on the podcast, thanks even more. And I, this is where I would love to be. Casey, could you please play, you know, somewhere out there.
That would be a perfect song right now.
From Feifel's Adventures. Somewhere. Yeah. It was a good story, and I'm glad that she had that moment there because it really, you know, you need that. I think people certainly need closure, and I'm happy that there was a reconnection there, and granted, she did not get a chance to see them, but at least, you know, before his passing, they were able to speak their piece to each other and end on a much better note than it otherwise would have been.
Right. I mean, you know, I just had a conversation with someone about that just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they die tomorrow, can you live with what the relationship is?
Mm-hmm.
The lack of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I think that's very important. You don't get any do-overs and you don't get a chance to say the things that you want to say. But those are really, really two incredible stories.
It is. You know, and on that note, because here's what something I want to say about that is I do think sometimes in life people do need their breaks. They do need, I think sometimes without a disconnection sometimes, you know, because of whatever it may be in one's life, sometimes without having that space, there would never be a reconnection, or it would just deteriorate into utter insanity. And it would, someone would end up dying and it would just be left in bitterness. I think sometimes people need that a space, a time to reflect, a time to kind of recollect who they are and reclaim that. And then when the time is right, hopefully that there a connection can be made. And then hopefully, you know, something new, a new version of the relationship can emerge. But it can't always happen like that sometimes without having that space. And unfortunately that's not my invention, but I think that's how some folks work and how some relationships work.
So. Oh, and I totally understand that. And there, I think too, at a point in my life, I realized I had some people in my life I really didn't even need. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's okay to not be friends with everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, I truly do wish you all the best.
Yeah.
But this is not healthy.
Yeah.
That's okay. But I don't want it to be that anger that just like you think I'm in and you're so mad.
Yeah.
Because you can walk away and be like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, and see him at the store. You're like, hey, how's mm-hmm. it going? I don't really want to hang out with you, but I hope you're well.
Exactly.
And, you know, but it's, there are times that I do think you just have to have space.
Yeah, it's I think there's just times where you have no choice but to take that space, and then, you know, hopefully some sort of resolution can come out of it at some point in time. And it sounds like obviously they got it there. So I'm happy that that happened. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Let's go to a caller.
Hey, Tony, Jenny, or Carol. This is Eric from Central Illinois calling. This story made me, listening to A Dark Side of Wikipedia, this story, you'll realize what episode it's part of. So friends of mine and I went about 10 years ago to a concert up in Milwaukee and went to the concert that night. The hotel was right across the street. After many beers and awesome music, went back to the hotel where I proceeded to pass out. The following morning, I woke up first early, so I figured I'd get a shit shower and shave in before my other two buddies woke up. Completing the shit, I got into the shower where I shaved my head, and I'm facing the shower head, and to the left of me, I had the cap of my shaving cream gel kind of on the tub ledge there, and to the right was my shaving cream. So I'm lathering up, and out of the corner of my eye, I see the shower, the cap to the gel fly, like something hit it. And it wasn't just like it kind of got water on it and just kind of fell down. Now, I'm a paranormal investigator, so I'm trying to debunk this. So I stick it up there back on the ledge. I'm splashing water on it. It doesn't move. I'm trying to, you know, create a air circulation, nothing, you know, stomping in the tub, hitting the side of the wall. This cap does not move. And I think if it did fall, it probably just would have fell instead of flew off and like literally hit me in the leg. So I'm standing there and I say out loud, okay, if this was you and you hit the shower cap, move this again. And 2 seconds later, the mirror that hung above the sink comes off the wall and crashes to the ground, does not break. I immediately just thrust my head out of the shower curtain and proceed to see this mirror sitting there on the floor. My two friends come rushing to the bathroom thinking I had fallen in the shower. It was such a loud crash. And, you know, and just, I'm literally shaking at this point and tell them what happened. And they're like, oh, okay. And they go back to bed. And I was able to put the mirror back into the wall. And this is a mirror that was fixed. So, you know, I don't know if it was already loose and it fell out, but coincidence, maybe. After we had left, I did a little research on the hotel, and it was the Ambassador Hotel where Jeffrey Dahmer had one of his kills. So, thank you very much. Your podcast is awesome. I am a gravekeeper, not an EPP, but I love all your podcasts. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you for sharing that story with us here on the show. The Ambassador has been known for its hauntings, I think even well before Dahmer, but I know the Ambassador, I believe was involved. I did that episode a while back, so I don't remember all the details of all the locations, but I when I think of the Ambassador, I do think of ghost stories. I don't necessarily think of Dahmer, but because there's just so much stuff connected down there.
Well, I love that when his friends come running into the bathroom, mm-hmm. and he's like, the mirror, you know, came off. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, whatever. Okay, we're going to go lay back down.
Yeah.
Because that would have scared the crap out of me.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's got another ghost thing. I guess when he's a ghost, and you know, because he's a ghost investigator, maybe the friends are just kind of used to it with him, where it's like...
like whatever, everywhere we go with this guy.
Nah, just shit happens everywhere. Yeah, but that would be, I would lose my shit.
It's there. I did not do it.
And hotels, you know, you think of them, and yeah, shit is affixed. I mean, it's there so people don't rip it out, break it, you know, all of the above. So for that to come crashing down. Do you think ghosts sometimes use basically what is easily accessible to manipulate? Like maybe, I mean, for example, the shower cap, easy to kind of push or you know, jettison off that ledge in the shower because it's already wet. I'm sure there was a little bit of like no friction beneath it. So just the littlest bit of energy can make it go flying. Maybe that mirror itself was ready to come off the wall and it knew that. And it thought, I'm going to take advantage of this and knock it off. You know, if they were
more like, hey, oh, you want to see something? Boom.
Yeah.
Like, I can do all this.
You want a show? You got a show.
Right?
Yeah, it's...
I scared my dog with that. My dog comes running in. Well, not running. My dog's 15. It's like, what?
Your dog slowly waffled in and sat on the recliner.
What was that? Should I be alarmed? Well, it's funny because he's gotten old and he just randomly thinks he sees shit now and just starts barking.
Yeah.
At things that aren't there. So then it's that. Is it a ghost? Or is my dog just having some dementia issues?
Or is he getting close to the... And I'm not trying to say this to be mean or hurtful. Is he getting close to his time and the ghost dogs are coming to help him along? Because we hear that with the living.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
He did walk over here and pick up a bone and he's going to go chew it. So he's all good.
There you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's go to this person who sent in an audio file via their smart device. You can do so if you'd like. You can always email that to me, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Orlando, Florida. So I have a story for you today. It's going to be mostly my mother's story. Pretty much all of it's my mother's story. And she's just going to talk about an experience we had in an old house. So, Mom, take it away.
Hello. So this was roughly around 2016 in Winter Park, Florida. We moved to this very old rental house. And it was built in the early 1900s. And, you know, I've really never believed in anything. Never had anything happen to me per se until this pink house. So we moved in, and then my youngest daughter started, she said that little, you know, she felt a little kid touch her shoulder in the bathroom. She heard a music box, but it was always in the bathroom where she felt uncomfortable and would hear the music box and the, she said it was like children laughing in her ear and touching her shoulder. So one day, I was in the hallway of the house and I said, you know, you can't, you know, you're in control, you know, there's nothing in here, you know? And I was like, just like saying, you know, you're in control. There's no ghost in here. It was the same night. My youngest daughter and I slept together and we have a pug. Her name is Millie and we're in bed and we're fast asleep. My oldest daughter's back in college. So she wasn't home at the time. And my elderly mother lived with us, and she was on the complete other side of the house. So this is around midnight, and I'm awakened to someone calling, Millie, Millie. And I'm thinking, what in the heck? And my daughter, my dog jumps up, and she's barking, but she does not leave the bedside. Like, she would not go out of the bedroom. She's just barking. And so I got up and walking down the hall thinking that it's my mother. Although it was like a young voice, it was not my mother's voice. So I get to the dining room and I notice that my mother's door underneath is completely black. So she was asleep. So I walk around the table and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it back down the hall, back in the bedroom, because that was not my mother. I don't know what just happened. And I'm in a total shock of panic. I go back into bed. The dog never left the bed. She's still barking, but I calm her down. And then, you know, my daughter, she never woke up. I don't remember her waking up at all. And so I lay back down. I calm down the dog. And then all of a sudden, something comes like racing down the hall. It's a very long hallway, by the way. It comes racing down the hall and it halts right at my door. My door was open, the bedroom door. And a flash of blinding light goes flying up to the top of the ceiling. It was almost like a big sheet, but it was like just a huge flash, and it was a huge like sheet, white like, and it goes flying up in the air, and then poof, it was gone. I'm immediately like, what just happened? And again, in just a total shock, like, okay, did I just go crazy? What just happened? It was very silent after that. My dog calmed down. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning thinking, did I have a dream or did this happen? I knew it was not a ghost. It was more like, when I Googled it, it was definitely an apparition. That's exactly what happened. And not only that, I would always see an old lady, like in a smock, in the backyard, looking into the window. And this was on like three or four occasions. I would just randomly look out. It was a huge window in the dining room. I would look out to the backyard and she would be all the way at the fence just looking in. And when I would look away and look back, she was gone. So that happened several times also. So that is my story. So thank you for listening.
Thoughts?
Well, that was all creepy. I never want to see a woman with a smock.
Yeah.
Like, really? That would be really creepy. But I loved how the daughter introduced it. I think that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
There you go. Take it away.
Tell the story, Ma. Yeah. But
no, that was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started talking about the dog barking, which I was just talking about my dog doing that.
With the,
my dog barking.
With the light that came in, you know, that's an interesting thing. And what came to my mind was ball lightning. Have you heard of ball lightning?
I have heard of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it
either, and it's actually a fairly unexplained phenomena because there's so many reports of it. I first heard a story of ball lightning as a child, where it happened in my grandparents' house. The story that I got was all the kids were in the basement and it was storming outside. They believe the house chimney was struck, and then what appeared to be a ball flew out of the chimney across the room and then just boom, just super bright, and then like exploded against the wall and it was gone. And I know like people have hypothesized like it's like some almost like plasma type thing, that it's not ghostly, but it's the energy of lightning. But I don't know how you really explain it though, too, when people have these sort of things happen when it's not storming, you know?
The thunderstorm happening.
Yeah, I can understand the thunderstorm version of it completely. And I was told, like, my mother was, like, in her crib, like, right next to where it happened. So,
if lightning hit the chimney, that would be so loud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would probably burst a lot of chimneys, just the sound waves. But laboratory experiments, I guess, have produced effects that are visually similar to ball lightning, but there's very little of it that's ever been filmed or really, you know, proven to show this is a thing, other than just tons and tons and tons and tons of reports over the years of people having these experiences. And they're not always during a storm. So what is it? I don't know. But that's an interesting one to maybe that'd be. Is it dark enough for over on the dark side of Wikipedia? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's certainly unexplained or an unsolved mystery, if you will. Maybe that'd be a fun one just to kind of throw in around Halloween time, of just kind of something of, you know, we're trying to do some of that anyhow. It'd be an interesting one because, you know, a lot of people have wondered about what the hell is it. I thought there was more explanation to it than there is, but I had no idea that it was still a very much a unknown phenomena or unexplained phenomena. So,
because I can see it in a thunderstorm.
Sure.
Lightning does some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, when lightning strikes something, like it struck one time behind my house. It was so incredibly loud. So everything electronic in my house just died.
Yeah.
Right. But the TV, because the TV actually had buttons on it then.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than the buttons popping out, they like got sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to turn my TV on with a chopstick. And I did. I used a chopstick for like 2 years because you couldn't get the little button out. It was like, I don't know how the lightning, why it did that. But it was just in several weird little things like that in my house happened.
Yeah, it's bizarre where things like that can, but it has such crazy power. It's, you know.
You could see the ball lightning happening in this storm.
Yeah.
Like that.
That seems to make a little bit more sense to me. But I don't know.
You would absolutely have a very, very vivid memory of seeing.
Certainly. That would be.
Like, oh,
That would be imprinted in your mind for, you know, for pretty much ever. But thank you for sharing that that experience with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, get all the bonus content, new content every week for you there. Exclusively for extra podcast people, all ad-free and advanced episodes. It's all there. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.